we back on? It takes it a second. Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, we're back on. Okay. We had a mishap there. I forgot to change the title, and I didn't realize we were online, so we had to back up and punt. But if you see the title of this, and I just want to share this with you real quick, because I know a bunch of you are at home and cooking and preparing with family and all of those things, big stuff, important stuff. And I titled this, Should We Celebrate Christmas? And I know it sounds like a crazy question coming from Christians, but I just wanted to share a little something with you as y'all are cooking turkey and hams and all of that stuff. First, let me say this, Merry Christmas to everybody out there and those who are fending off a little bit of sickness. We just pray that the Lord bless you and you get well soon. It doesn't keep you from being with your family. But what is Christmas? And you know, this is kind of odd for me because I never do seasonal stuff. But Christmas comes from two words, Christ, Mass. And Mass is this final blessing. I think it's got its roots in Catholicism, is the final blessing said by the priest. It means to send out, as Jesus sent his disciples out, God sending Christ out. And I guess what kind of brought this on my mind was, you know, I spent years searching when Christ was born. And, you know, the scriptures tell us where, but they never tell us when. And I always wondered why didn't he tell us when Christ was born? And we search and look, try to gather all this information. I will tell you this, if God wanted us to know when Christ was born, he would have recorded it. And I begin to understand a little bit more of why that he did record it. Because, you know, I mean, one is this gift to mankind. But then, when he comes alive to us individually. And I say all this, putting a whole bunch of little pieces together here. You know, should we celebrate Christmas? Should we put up Christmas trees? Should we give gifts? Is it Christian? Is it godliness? And the reason I say that is because I see so much on Christmas coming out from other Christians, other preachers. And they come to you with this idea that if you put up a Christmas tree, you're pagan and you're going to hell. And if you put up a tree with lights on it, you're going to, and anything that has to do anything with Christmas, that you're going to be in lots of trouble. And what made me look at this is, you know, I do the little podcast on Thursdays, which comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays on our Voice of Truth channel. And last week I was talking about the prophet Isaiah, and I made a statement that Isaiah didn't know what he was writing. And ever how you want to take that, what I meant was Isaiah knew what he was writing, but he didn't know what it meant. He thought he knew what it meant. And maybe it did mean what he thought it did at the time, but all those scriptures in the Old Testament was given to us, and they're true, but they were looking through a glass darkly. The only way that we can understand God is in the person of Jesus Christ. Look, you can't understand him any other way. So when I made the statement that Jesus or that Isaiah didn't know what he was writing, this preacher commented on it and made the statement, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and then a big shoe at the end of it. I knew what that shoe meant. That shoe meant, I would hate to be in your shoes because God is going to get you. God is going to bust you up. And when I hear these other preachers that are talking about Christmas, all, and there's denominations out there that don't celebrate Christmas. But, you know, for us, we probably celebrate Christmas in a different manner in the United States than they do anywhere around the world. But people celebrate it all around the world. Does this mean that everybody who gets a gift and puts up a tree and that God is going to get them? From what I'm learning, because there was a time in my life when I thought, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't get too wrapped up in Christmas. And then, you know what changes that? Grandkids. That changes everything. You got to go back and look and say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Because we can become so religious that we miss the fun that God is. And I'm telling you, it's a word that I know we're not supposed to use in churches. That God is fun to be around. God is fun to be with. God loves little children. You know, when the disciples were arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Remember, they're having an argument. Who's going to be the greatest? We're all so religious. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus takes a child and sets on his lap and says, this is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. And it just brought a bunch of things into my mind because, you know, I have children. And I have grandchildren. And, you know, one of the sets of grandchildren, they're twins. And their mommy likes to dress them the same. You know, a lot of people do that. They dress their twins the same. Here they dress the same. Nothing wrong with that. But I got to realize, you know, and see, it brought kind of these things back into perspective with me on calling an election, you know, because we grew up called elect, and all this other stuff. So I gave one of my children a certain gift, and I didn't give the other one that gift, the same gift. You know why I didn't do that? Because I want each one to feel special. Because I don't have, you know, if I give this one a gift, does this mean I love this one more than this one? Now, see, on the receiving end, we can think in our minds, oh, he gave me this gift, he loves me more. But I give this other one a gift just as special because I want each one of them to know how special they are. I go read in the scriptures when God is pouring out his gifts and he gave gifts to men and we're talking about all those gifts. Well, this one's got a gift to healing. This one's got a gift to this. And this one's got a gift to prophesying. This one's got all these gifts. Do you ever just sit back and see a heavenly Father in heaven rejoicing over the fact that he gives you this gift? And man, it's so unique and you got a one of a kind. And you know what? In our arrogance, we think I'm more special than you. But no, he gives this one a gift that is just as special and just as unique. This is the goodness of God. I've just seen it in ways that I've never dreamed about seeing it before. Never even thought about all of this stuff. So we go and we look. We try to figure out, was Jesus born on December 25th? Probably not. Does this mean that we shouldn't set aside this time to celebrate Christmas? Because after all, what are we doing when we're celebrating Christmas? Because anything that you say, the religious mindset will come in and say, well, it's all about Jesus. Well, I will say, yeah, that's true. But let me tell you something about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all about community. They're all about family. So Jesus said this, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Wow, when did we do that? We didn't even know we were doing that. So when we're sharing our dinners with our families, whether we realize it in our mindset that we're doing it unto Christ, He's there in the midst of it. When we're giving our gifts to one another, and it's more than just giving gifts, we have to learn how to receive gifts. Oh, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. I have went through these times in my mind, and I hope that we are always growing in knowledge and understanding of the Lord and learning how good and how great, how awesome that He is. My goodness. And you know those times when I thought, oh, we shouldn't really put too much emphasis into Christmas. You know what? As we learn and as we grow, hopefully we can say, wow, that was a dumb idea. We should celebrate Christmas. Jeff, can you pull up our Jeremiah? Because I've seen some of these verses posted on Facebook. And they put up these things, Jeremiah 10 and 1. Jeff, Jeremiah 10 and 1. And people are pulling, because, man, there's a verse in the scriptures that you can always use to condemn somebody. And man, people have pulled it out. As I was coming up here today, I heard this lady on the phone, or not on the phone, this lady on the radio. She's fighting the devil. She's up there and she's kicking the devil. And she's punching the devil and she's wanting to give the devil a black eye. And you know, this all of this nonsense, I'll say. Nonsense. Let me just read a couple verses here. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Hear this word. Hear this word. Man, sometimes we just need to hear this word. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Okay, so the heathen are looking up in the skies, trying to discern the times, doing all of these things. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. You know what that means. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. So they go out to the woods and they cut down a tree. Does this sound like maybe something we do in our Christian Christmas celebration? I remember we lived on the farm. It was a great thing. We would take the family. We would go up on the hill and, we didn't have pine trees. We had cedar trees. Isn't it amazing? We live in Cedar Bluff. We would go cut a cedar tree. And then in verse 4 it says, they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. So in other words, they go get a tree. They bring it into the, they fasten it so it don't move. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Boy, is this sounding like going to getting a Christmas tree here? Because man, I've heard this used a whole lot. Why we shouldn't have a Christmas tree, and those who do have a Christmas tree are going to be in big trouble from a God who's just up there wagging his head, shaking, stomping his foot. He's ready to come back at any moment and start wiping people out who have a Christmas tree up. I would say no. No, he's not. Next verse. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. What they were doing, guys, basically, was they were just making little gods to put in their house. But you know what, guys? This is something that we do. Not, I don't believe anybody here or anybody listening to me thinks their Christmas tree is a little god. It is the way, listen, the way that we celebrate Christmas. Do you know I have studied the way that people do rituals? And what I mean is a ritual, do you realize the way that we do a wedding in the United States and maybe in this part of the country is different than they would do in Australia or do in Germany or do in Japan? Does it mean one marriage ceremony is right and all the rest of them is wrong? So now if you got married this way? You see, we used to argue these things over baptism. Oh my gosh, well, he didn't get baptized right. He's got to do it again. And, you know, he didn't get baptized in the right name. The right preacher didn't do it. And, you know, all of this crazy nonsense. But the ritual here is what I'm talking about. Why do we have these rituals? Because, guys, we got wedding rituals, communion rituals, baptism rituals, the ritual of a funeral. You know, people do funerals different. I think there's one, and I'm not sure on this, maybe somebody out there would know that, and I think it's at a Jewish wedding, that when the wedding is done, they break a glass. You guys ever heard that? They break a glass. And I think that was a tradition that started a long time ago. Now it's just become part of the ritual. Does that mean if you break a glass, you didn't, or if you don't break a glass? But I think some rabbi started it a long time ago. Again, you can check me out. I don't know this to be true. But they didn't want them to be celebrating too much. And what I mean is, so the rabbi saw this bride, this new bride and her husband and the families. They were in so much celebration. It's like, you guys are too over the top. We need to break a glass to get you guys back down to earth. So they started this tradition of breaking a glass to bring it back down to earth. But you know, when I go watch God and I read about the feast and the festivals that He's given us in scriptures, I will say God is over the top. I used to think, you know, on Christmas time, what do we do, Teddy? We go out and we spend too much money. God went out and He went over the top. He spent everything that He had. To give. Why? Because agape love is a love that is ever giving. Ever giving. And you know, sometimes we say, and I've told God, enough, enough, it's too much. And He just keeps giving. It's like, goodness gracious. I don't get it. It's too much. It's over the top. Because God, I will say, God is over the top. God is over the top. When He gives gifts, Teddy, they're called good gifts. And, you know, it just amazes me how religion will come in and try to rob us of this great celebration that we have. Whether it be Christmas, whatever it is, wedding ceremonies, whatever they are, they're a time of great joy and celebration. Is there a ritual involved? Of course there's ritual involved. Should we be reminded of the Lord? Absolutely. And you know what? We should celebrate. Is God not worthy to be celebrated? Absolutely celebrated. So when He's blessed me, and then I can turn around and bless my kids, and then bless my family, and bless my grandkids, and then bless others. My goodness. Whether they know it's Christmas or not, I can't look and say, oh, well, you know, I know you're only 3 years old, but we got to tell you about the Jesus story. We'll work it in there. Trust me, God loves to give. He gave us gifts. And, You know what? Many times he's done things we didn't even acknowledge him. And God is not up there saying, because I know he gives and he doesn't repent of his giving. He doesn't sit up there and say, well, you know what? I gave you that gift and you ruin it. Who in the world ain't? Tell me that. Who in the world ain't ruining something God's given them? But we forget God is love, but we can just keep thinking in this mindset, well, God is, he's got to whip us, he's got to punish us, he's got... I just go back to the scripture all the time. Jesus said it. Which of you, if he had a son, and he asked his father for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? And you know, he goes through these things. And then he says, and you being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more your father? And I can tell you what, some of the things that I've learned, you know, and maybe you take this for what it's worth, but you know what, if I go give my kids something, especially my grandkids, and what would happen if in their playing with this new gift that they've got, they broke it? What would you do? Oh, well, I'm never buying you another gift again. That's it. Go stand in the corner. See, this is a religious mindset. What would you do? You would try to, because you'd probably see them crying that the gift is broke. They'd probably be afraid, that something may happen. So you would probably bring them in and set them on their lap and try to bring some calmness to the situation. And maybe you might even explain how the thing got going. And then what are you going to do? Probably go buy them another one. And you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Let me give you a quick definition of a ritual. Because a ritual is different from a routine. Rituals can have routine qualities, but rituals are not routines. Rituals are an intentional act. And it needs you to be present and committed when it's happening. Present and committed. Routines, on the other hand, are automatic. I do a lot of things routine, right? Our minds are everywhere. I know Teddy talks about it a lot. Teddy's out here working and doing the things he does. Where's your mind? It ain't on your work. You're thinking of scriptures, thinking of the Lord. So the work here, that's routine. You're just doing it, but your mind. See, this is a freedom that people don't know about. But these rituals. Now, whatever we use, now remember this, I just want you guys to hear this. Whatever we use, ritual is our conscious participation in our own transformation. God has given us ritual. God is the one who started having funerals, right? He told them, and they would go get a cave, and I need a cave so I can bury my dead in. And why? Because, and what's it all about? See, God is changing us. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Of that, there's no doubt, but we get to participate in that. And we do that through ritual. And Christmas happens to be one of them. Communion happens to be one of them. Baptism happens to be one of them. Wedding ceremonies happen to be one of them. Prayer happens to be one of them. All of these things that God has allowed us to participate in the own work that he's doing in us. I didn't say that we were doing the work. No, we get to participate. This is the goodness of God. Let me go read something out of... Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8. Oh, that's such a good psalm. You know, yesterday, and if you think about this, I was down there seeing Stevie and him yesterday, and Lilybug, she just turned 7. And, you know, you've probably seen that picture where I'm reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to her. She just has this amazement look on her face. And when we got ready to leave, she went and got me a picture that she had colored. Actually, that she drew and that she had colored and gave me that picture. Now, let me just say this. I doubt anybody tops that gift. You know what I mean? I doubt no matter what. I mean, if you brought me, 1,000 bars of gold, I'd just buy a real nice frame to put that. picture in. You understand what I mean? And, you know, the things that we offer to God sometimes that you know, price-wise, probably ain't worth nothing. But, man, they're precious. They're so precious. Look here at Psalms 8. I just want to read this to you. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I read these verses today, and I know that there'll be a lot of people out there that every time that we do a Christmas ritual or whatever, somebody's not there that was there last year. You lose your mom, you lose your dad, you lose an aunt, an uncle, a sibling, a friend, whoever. It's just never the same. And then sometimes we come here and we go to these rituals and we begin to wonder, man, I wish mom was here. I wish dad was here. I wish papa was here. You know, and they're not. And sometimes around these time of years that we can have, they can be times of trouble. What is given to us is a great celebration. Sometimes we can come into it in the times of trouble. You know, a lot of people go into depression these times of year. But listen to this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And I know we look at it and we say, oh, he's talking about the Lord Jesus. But let me tell you something about the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to go into Hebrews here in a minute and read this. The Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, came down here, born of a virgin. He showed us how to be a human. He showed us how to be a human. What it means to be a human. And you know what it says right here? Thou hast put all things under his feet. So now we draw a line and we say, well, that's his. Well, that's not our. What I'm going to tell you is this. No matter what you're going through, no matter if you're having a great Christmas, a medium Christmas, a depressing Christmas, you're missing somebody or whatever, God has placed right under our very feet everything that we could ever need. We don't see it. We don't understand it. That's why wisdom is a thing to be grasped for. Wisdom is a thing to be sought after, because how in the world could God be bringing wisdom out of the mess that I see myself in? Things that Jeff and I were talking about earlier. How in the world could God work these situations out? But he has put all things under our feet. And when you go back and look, what is man? Why would God do this? How much love has he given us? Now let me go over here to Hebrews real fast. I'm going to read the same thing out of Hebrews. I got this new Bible and it sort of puts some headings up there. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 5. We're going to read the same thing here. And in this little chapter heading here, this is King James, but it says, God's new order and his gifts to men. And what I want to say about the Hebrew letter is, it's probably written to second generation Christians, those who are coming out of Judaism and coming on into Christianity. And then the Hebrew letter is a constant argument. Yeah, you got angels, but he's better than angels. Yeah, you got the law, but he's better than the law. Yeah, you got Moses, but he's better than Moses. You've got all of these things, and Jesus is so much better. It's not to say that angels are bad. No, we're not saying that. Hey, you want to meet some angels, knock yourself out. But have you met Jesus? You want to be into the law? That's fine. We're not knocking Moses. He was a man ordained of God. But have you met Jesus? You want to be under the law and all this? But have you met Jesus? And it says right here, same thing he's quoting out of the psalm we just read, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come," the very world we're living in, "whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet under things, all things put under his feet." You know, this letter was written to a church who was going through it. They had their back against the wall, man, being bludgeoned and burned and thrown into lions' dens and in the Roman cathedral and all of this other stuff. And you read this Psalm 8 and you think, yeah, he's given us all things, but we can't see it. It's right there. God has provided us. You know, just like Kathy Sarla would say, you know, we're already healed. It's there, but we don't understand it. How do we lay hands on that? How do we get a hold of that? That's what this Hebrew letter is saying. He left nothing that is not put under his feet. Look at that verse. That he left nothing. In verse 8, he left nothing that is not yet put under him. Whatever situation the people are going through, you're going through, I'm going through, whatever it is, there is nothing that has not been made subject to him, that he's not already conquered it and it's done. So them women who want to go out there and give the devil black eyes and kick him around and beat him all up, I will say this, there is nothing that is not in subjection to Jesus. But you and me, we don't see it. It says right there, but we see not yet all things put under his feet. We don't get it. We don't understand it. Healing is already there, but we don't get it. I mean, all of these things are already there, but we don't get it. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. And man, I hope. You know, we pray God open our eyes that we might see Jesus. And what better way? What better way than at this time of year, this great ritual that we have of Christmas, what better time than to sit back? If everything is going good, then I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, celebrate, and go over the top with it. If you're missing family and friends and Christmas just ain't what you think it ought to be, use this ritual as a time to reflect, to go back. You know, that's why God gave us funerals. Because what do we do with the funeral? We focus on the person that we miss, that just left us, that we miss, and we can reflect on how much we love them and we miss them and how much they loved us. And it gives us a time. And remember what I said the ritual was. It helps us in our transformation. Because salvation is an ever ongoing thing. We have been saved. We're being saved. We shall be saved. We're growing up. We're growing up into the Lord. We're constantly growing and growing and growing, helping us in our transformation. And God has given us the greatest gift. God has given us himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in hard times, we crave meaning, and these rituals help us make sense of that. No matter what the ritual is, this time it just happens to be Christmas. It reminds us who we are. I mean, when you really go and think about it, Christ, Christmas, Jesus, what a gift. What a gift that heaven itself couldn't keep silent. I mean, they began to sound trumpets and blow out into the fields where the shepherds were. Joy. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. And you'll find the gift. You'll find the babe wrapped, lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. It reminds us who we are so that we can keep going. let me give you a verse here. Genesis 24, just a couple of giving verses here. And I was just looking through this, and I thought, my goodness, this is all over the scriptures, all over the scriptures. This use of giving. Genesis 24 and verse 53, Abraham sends his servant Eliezer out to get a wife for his son. And what do you think is going to be a token of that? Gifts. And the servant, in verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Man, they were having a Christmas time there, wasn't it? And I know these gifts, we can go and we look at all spiritual things, and yeah, they're spiritual things there. But right in Genesis, there's the practice of giving gifts. And what are we celebrating here? What do we do? What's our ritual of Christmas? We remember that God has given himself to us, Emmanuel. And as we exchange gifts one with another, I'm going to go in Esther real fast. Esther chapter 2, verse 18. If I can find Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 18. And the king made a great feast unto all the princesses and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts. Now, how did he give gifts? According to what each one deserves? No. He didn't say, you're good, you get a better gift. You know, now I will say in this Christmas, I don't like the Santa Claus songs like giving you lumps of coal and you better be good and naughty or nice. No, he don't give gifts that way. He gives gifts how? According to the state of the king. God gives gifts according to his own state. And what is his own state? He's love. He's agape love that gives without prejudice. And this last one in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8. Let me read verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. Is grace not a gift? Absolutely, it's a gift. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. And what is that gift? What do we just say? He has put all things under his feet. And we've been given this grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. My goodness. So we use this time to practice our giving. Why? Because with each gift, our hope is to make the other person know how much we love them. And when they give gifts to us, it's the same thing. How much we enjoy them. So I'll leave you with this. As from a pastor and minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, should we celebrate Christmas and maybe go over the top with it? Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, I'll quit with that. Guys, we'll see you guys next Sunday. And Merry Christmas, and Lord bless you all.